I would like to read a scripture reading from Revelation 3:14-22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginnings of God's creation. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. With that, you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are rich, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
ヨハネの黙示録3章14節から22節をお読みします。またレオデキアにある教会の御使いに書き送れ、アーメンである方、中心で真実な証人、神に作られたものの根源である方がこう言われる。私はあなたの行いを知っている。あなたは冷たいものをもなく熱くもない。私はむしろあなたが冷たいか熱いかであってほしい。このようにあなたは、生ぬるく熱くも冷たくもないので、私の口からあなたを吐き出そう。あなたは自分で飛んでいる。豊かになって乏しいものは何もないと言って、実は自分が惨めで哀れで眩しくて盲目で裸のものであることを知らない。私はあなたに忠告する。豊かなものとなるために火で洗練された金を、金を私から買いなさい。またあなたの裸の恥を表せなさい。哀らせなさいために着る白い衣を買いなさい。また目が見えるようになるため目に塗る目薬を買いなさい。私は愛する者を叱ったり懲らしめたりする。だから熱心になって悔い改めなさい。見よ、私は戸の外に立って叩く。誰でも私の声を聞いて戸を開けるなら、私は彼のところに入って彼と共に食事をし、彼も私と共に食事をする。勝利を得る者を私と共に私の座に聞かせよう。それは私が勝利を得て私の父と共に父の御座に聞いたものと同じである。耳のあるものは御霊が小教会に言われることを聞きなさい。
Good morning again. How's everyone doing? Just before I forget, this is Penji's second to the last Sunday. So next Sunday is going to be your last Sunday, Penji. Oh my gosh. And you're going to go to San Jose, I believe?
I will stay there for 4 days, and I will go back to China.
Okay. So, yeah, this is... Kenji has two more Sundays with us. Yeah. We'll say our goodbyes next Sunday, then, Kenji. And again, for those of you men, we're doing a men's Bible study, and we're going to go through prayer. So that's this Thursday, and it's every second and fourth Thursdays of the month. And hopefully you guys could join us. It's going to be here, 5:30 to 6:30. We're going to have a great time. The first meeting is this Thursday, and Phil said... Now, I don't know if this was just an invitation to me, but he said, after the prayer study, let's go and eat some Hawaiian food. It's on me. So, I don't know. Maybe that's extended to everyone. That's what Phil said. He's not here right now, so he can't. Yes. So, please join us if you feel like. Yeah. Pick up your books. Nate has the books, the study guides, and so pick one up or take a look at it. We've been going through the book of Revelation, and this portion of Revelation, Jesus is giving out letters. Now imagine if you went to your mailbox and you got a letter and it says, from Jesus. Would you be excited? Would you be nervous? Would you be scared? How would you feel? Your friend calls you up and said, hey, I got a phone call from Jesus. And this is a friend who's not doing so well, you know. Works a job that's minimum wage kind of thing. Not very successful in the world's eyes. People are always talking bad about this person. And yeah, he's faithful. And... he calls you up and says, hey, I just got a letter from Jesus. And in the back of your mind, you're probably thinking, oh, Jesus is probably going to tell this guy, hey, he needs to step it up. You know, he needs to get his act together, pray for those promotion raises, and, you know, and just get your act together. Everyone's always talking bad about you. But he says, Phil says, hey, Jesus says, that he loves what I'm doing. And you're thinking, what? Really? You know, you're not even that successful. Like, I make more than you, and no one ever talks bad about me, and blah, 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 blah. And then you open up your letter, thinking, all right, Jesus is so encouraging. He encourages everyone. He even encourages that poor Phil that, you know, everyone's always talking bad about. Doesn't have his act together. Works a minimum wage job. Doesn't give that much to the church because he doesn't make that much. And I give so much to the church and I do all of this and all of that. And, you know, I can't wait to open this letter up. And he opens the letter up and there's nothing good said about you. That's the Laodicean church. Laodicea is the last of the seven churches. And... Jesus has nothing good to say about that church. I want to ask you a question. Where are you with the Lord today? Where are you with God today? That's an important question. Some of us think, oh, we're really close to God. I think I'm really close to God. Some of us may think, you know, I've been a little backslidden. I'm not as close as I used to be. And some of us were saying, you know, I'm so far away from God that, you know, it's been so long since I've been talking to God. And we're all in different places in our lives when we ask, where are you? Where are you in terms of your relationship with God? One of the worst things that could probably happen to us is when we get to heaven we think we're so close to God and God will say, I never knew you. That's probably the worst thing that could ever happen to anyone. Thinking, I finally get to meet the God I love and worship and did all of this for, and God says to you, Jesus says to you, I never knew you. That might be the worst thing that could ever happen. So one of the best things that could ever happen to us is to really sober up and realize where we are with the Lord. To not have that kind of surprise. Or to have the surprise of, oh man, I could have done so much more for the Lord, and the Lord says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That would be a good surprise. I want to take a look at the church in Laodicea. And perhaps looking at their mistakes, we can not fall into the same thing that they did. It starts off, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Let me just stop there for a second. In every letter, Jesus reveals himself in a specific way. And I don't think it's arbitrary. I think it's in a way that that church needs to be revealed to. So Jesus, I believe when he comes to us personally, he'll come to us in a specific way as well. In a personal way. God will speak to us in a personal way. Sometimes God speaks to us through the Word of God. And hopefully all the time he speaks to us through the Word of God. But you know what? Sometimes God can speak to us through television, through movies, through our life experience, through nature. Even in our dream, God could speak to us. He could speak to us in a variety of ways. And to this church, he comes and reveals himself as the Word of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. And I believe the reason why he does this, he reveals himself to the Laodiceans in three ways. The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. The word Amen means it is true or it is valid. Jesus is basically saying, I am a true and faithful witness. He kind of repeats himself. He says, I am the Amen. So if you ever go to church and someone says Amen, that's basically when the preacher, and I haven't heard one Amen yet, but when the preacher says something good and you can say, yes, I agree with that. That is true. That is valid. So let me give you an easy one. God is good.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. God is faithful.
Amen.
All right, okay, all right. So he's saying that's who I am. Jesus says, I am the Amen. Just an obscure thing. Some commentators think this is from Isaiah 65:16, where Jesus describes himself, or God describes himself, as a true witness. But I believe Jesus is revealing himself to the Laodicean church in this way because this city, Laodicea, was a prosperous city in many ways. It was one of those cities that were in the middle of a lot of trade routes, but they began to advance in science, and they were, a lot of people were getting rich. They were making a lot of, they were growing in textiles. They were growing in all of these, economically they were growing. They were booming. And perhaps as they were advancing in the sciences, advancing in all of these things, they began to waver, perhaps, if God really is who he says he is. Maybe they even began to question if God really is the creator, or if everything we are is a product of random chance. And I believe Jesus reassures and reaffirms them, no. Everything I have said is true. I am faithful, I am true, I am the beginning of creation. I believe he's saying this to the Laodicean church, perhaps because they are questioning. The believers in Laodicea were questioning them. Should I go on rabbit? I go on a lot of rabbit trails. Can I go on a rabbit trail? Do you guys know? Never mind. I'm not going to go on this rabbit trail. I'm just going to go straight there. Okay. He continues on in verse 15. He says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would you either be cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I wish my wife was here. So for those of you who don't know, I injured myself last Saturday. I wasn't even able to come to church Sunday, and fast forward this today, I feel much better. I think because I've been on medication, like my mouth is really dry. Yeah, I do want some water, but it's okay, I'm fine. Coffee is fine. I think just anything like, it's just really hard right now. But thank you all for your prayers. Your prayers are powerful. They worked. Honestly, I thought like there was something wrong with me until like Thursday. I started to feel normal again. I mean, it was just one of those pains where it felt like electricity was going through your body and you're just like, ah, like you can't even hold in your, like, you kind of have to just yell to just alleviate the pain kind of thing. Anyways, I said I wasn't going to go on bunny trails. I went on a bunny trail. Let me go back. Imagine this letter that comes and it says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you either be cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, gosh. Thank you, Chelsea. All right. Cold nor hot in this context, some of you may have heard, you know, Jesus would rather you be on fire for God, hot, or not even close to God at all, rather than being in the middle. I personally don't think that's what this is saying, although I'll get back to that. I think what this is saying is, yay, thank you so much. Well done. No. In Laodicea, what was going on is, they were in a prosperous city. A lot of the citizens there, they were growing, they're growing smarter, they're growing richer, their houses were getting bigger, etc., etc., etc. The one thing that was wrong with that city was their water supply. They didn't have their own water supply, so they had to import their water, and they imported it from two locations. One of the locations were up in the mountains where they had cool springs, but as it came down and as they imported it into Laodicea, it was neither no more cold, it was lukewarm, and it kind of tasted nasty. They also had there was also another city nearby that had hot springs, which had healing qualities to it. But as the hot spring, as they would import that water, it would become lukewarm. And because the hot spring had a lot of minerals in it, lukewarm water is disgusting. Lukewarm mineral water is disgusting. And so people in Laodicea sometimes, they drank the water, and if it was the lukewarm water with the mineral supplies, they would literally spit it out and say, this is so disgusting. Jesus is saying to the church in Laodicea, that's how you become. That's what you become. You're neither hot nor cold. You become lukewarm like your water supply. And that's pretty, you know, I think that's interesting that he would speak to them through their water supply. Have that ever happened to you? Like just in your circumstances, God speaks to you. Oh, maybe this is how God sees me right now. And to the Laodicean church is saying, you're lukewarm. Now, he's not saying this to be mean. You know, there's enough mean Christian to sort of project that kind of attitude to Jesus himself. But Jesus was never that way. In fact, he sort of says, you know, I do this because I love you. I correct you because I love you. Not because you're not reaching my standard kind of thing. It's just, this is who you are right now. You guys think you're really close to me. And for good reason. They probably thought, hey, you know, because we're so close to God, we're becoming richer, we're becoming smarter, we're growing in this, we're doing that, and people are saying so many good things about us. Maybe we are doing something right. And Jesus has to wake him up and saying, be careful, you're right at the ledge. You're about to fall down. You're about to go to your death. And when you do, you're going to realize that you're pitiful, poor, and blind. Naked. The Laodicean church thought they were something else. But Jesus had to try to open their eyes and say, you are the opposite of what you think you are. Now, on a side note, there's nothing inherently wrong with being rich, smart, prosperous, etc., etc., etc. You know, there were people like that in the Bible that were very close to God. People like Joseph, people like Daniel. Joseph and Daniel in the Old Testament, they rose to the highest ranking offices that you could obtain, other than being the king. And this in a pagan nation. So there are people that are called to those places as Christians. They will be rich, they will be prosperous, they will be successful, etc., etc., etc. And that's all blessings from God. But then there's, you know, Christians, unfortunately, that are snared by those things. There are people that are like Jezebel, that pretends to be Christian and reach the highest levels of office, professes their faith, but they are nowhere near God. Unfortunately, the Jezebels and the Joseph, to the naked eye, they look very similar. They look alike. Human eyes can't detect which one is, you know, blessed by God and which one is using God. From an outward appearance, only God can see past that and into the heart. Laodicea, they looked successful. They looked like the Josephs of the world. They looked like the Daniels of the world. But God had to shake him and said, you are actually more like Jezebel than you are like Daniel. Than you are like Joseph. Verse 18, Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. The advice for the Laodicean church was to change, was to repent. Repent is to change. I believe he wanted them to change their attitude, their mindset, and their pursuits in life. Some of us today, you know, our pursuits in life are not in line with God. Our attitude are not in line with God. Our mindsets are not aligned with God. And let me tell you, none of us are immune to that. All of us are susceptible to those things that will lead us astray. It's so easy to say, oh, I want to make more money so that I could give more to the kingdom of God. That is true. That is a true statement. What we need to be careful is our heart, though. Is that truly our heart's desire? Even for myself, I have to constantly ask that question. Is that what the Lord wants? And I guess going back to the lukewarm statement where some believe that it means be on fire for God or be really, you know, cold and backslidden for God. In a certain way, I guess that is true. Even though I don't think that's what this means, it is true. It might actually be better if you're really on fire for God or if you know you're backslidden, you know. If you know that you don't deserve God, if you know that you're not following God, that might be a better place than to be in a place where you think you're following God, but you're really not. Because that is the worst place anyone could be. Because the person that knows they're far away from God, at least they are praying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Instead of someone who's praying, God, I thank you so much that you've done this and this for me, and I'm not like that guy over there, kind of thing. So in that case, I believe, either be hot or cold. Jesus tells them to buy from him gold, garment, and eye salve. Now, how do you do that? How do you actually buy those things from the Lord? I believe certainly the Spirit will lead us to acquire those things from the Lord. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. But on a practical note, I believe for the Laodicean, what Jesus was suggesting was instead of searching and trying to become more prosperous, that you should begin to pursue the things of God and store up treasures in heaven. The way you store up treasures in heaven, biblically, it seems like was to give sacrificially and to endure persecution. Give sacrificially, endure persecution. To not compromise so that you're so acceptable to everyone. To have certain boundaries, certain characteristic to speak up when you know something is wrong. I believe when he talks about buying clothing, perhaps he's talking about finding our identity with Christ. A lot of times clothing is an identifier of someone. If you remember in Scripture, there was a man named blind Bartimaeus. And he would beg, and one day he heard Jesus coming, and blind Bartimaeus said, Jesus, heal me. And when Jesus told Bartimaeus to come, Bartimaeus threw away his garment and came to him. That was an important thing because the garment he was wearing was an official garment saying, I'm blind and I'm able to beg for money. Without that garment, he would not have been able to beg legally. But when Bartimaeus threw away his clothing, he was saying, I am no longer this blind person. I no longer need this to tell people who I am. Buying clothing, I believe, is clothing yourself with Christ. Instead of covering ourselves and trying to find our identity in the things this world values. I think we all do that to a certain degree. In God's eyes, whenever we try to clothe ourselves with anything but Him, we are naked. It's like when Adam and Eve clothed themselves when they fell. Let God clothe you. And eisal is a pursuit, I believe, of valuing the unseen more than the seen world. To not become so short-sighted and realize that all of eternity is awaiting us after this life is done. As you know, Kenji passed away this past Friday. You know, I was really sad. It was so weird. It was almost like my own grandfather passed away, even though I've only known him like 7 years. And we weren't even close at that. But it was just weird. It was surreal. But one of the things I take comfort is every time I close my eyes and imagine Kenji, I imagine him, you know, young and vibrant and in heaven. He finished his race here and now he gets to enjoy everything for eternity in heaven. You know, this life is so short compared to eternity. But sometimes we get so blinded by what's right in front of us. Some of us don't have that much time left. And all of us, we're going to go one way or another. We're going to go. Eisal is for those of us who fixed our eyes on the things here that are perishable. Things here that will one day be worthless, meaningless. The Laodicean church, they fixed their eyes on their accomplishments. They fixed their eyes on how much they were able to gain, how much prestige they were able to gain, how many, the wealth, the knowledge, everything, the accolades, everyone praising them, all of that thing began to be more important to them than God Himself. And because of that, Jesus was saying, you have become blinded. Finally, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. What an amazing picture Jesus gives to the church in Laodicea. As the church was worshiping, as they were fellowshipping, and they were communing, as they were probably practicing communion like we're going to do later today in a short time. As they were doing all of those things for Jesus, Jesus is saying, I'm not even in your service right now. I'm outside. Let me in. And if you let me in, there's so much more that you will gain than what this world has to offer. You want prestige? He's saying, I am the one who conquered, and I can grant you thrones to sit on. It's an invitation to you and I to be seated with Christ. To be seated next to Jesus. Picture for a moment. Everyone close your eyes. Picture this for a moment. Close your eyes and, as best as you can, imagine seeing Jesus on his throne. It's a beautiful throne. I don't know if your throne is white, gold, sapphire. Pick your favorite color. Magnify that by a billion, you know. And it's saying, if you could overcome the temptations of this world, there is a seat next to me for you that I will give you. What an invitation. What an invitation. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. Lord, we ask each and every one of us, for each and every one of us, that we will not be surprised when we see you face to face, Lord. For those of us who are far, I pray you'll draw us near. For those of us who think we are close but we're so far from you, pray you will sober us up. And for those of us who are truly close to you, I pray that you will keep us close to you. For it is by your grace and your grace alone that we could be close to you. I pray for your grace, Lord. Would you increase that grace? Lord, if you're outside of our service right now, you're invited. Please come in. If you're outside of our hearts right now, Jesus, I invite you into our hearts. Lord, I pray that our lives would not be so blind by this world, but that we would be able to see clearly, just, Lord, just as this world really is. Help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands your way. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.